you got about 30 seconds.
Welcome to History Island, celebrating the rich history of Long Island.
It's summertime, summertime, some, summertime, 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 summertime. Well, shut them books and throw.
Summertime, 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 summertime,
summertime, summertime, summertime, summertime, summertime.
It's summertime.
Hey everybody, welcome to History Island on 103.9 FM, LA News Radio. I'm Dale Spencer, your host, and welcome back to another summer edition of our great show. We're glad you're all here. We hope everybody had a great 4th of July and that you all maybe saw some fireworks, had a good barbecue, did something good. That's our, the whole thing. We try to get everybody to get out and enjoy the summer because it's short and it goes quick. Anyway, so one thing I do have to talk about tonight, though, usually we focus on a lot of positive stuff on our show, but a real horrible disaster, as you probably all know by now, happened on the 4th of July in Texas, and that was the horrible flood. Amazing, once in a 100-year event, real natural disaster. The river rose at about 5 in the morning, over 30 feet in 45 minutes, and just swept everybody and everything away. At this point, the governor was talking about it today, and he said that before it's all done, there's going to be hundreds of people that died in this, maybe up to 300 people. Horrible disaster. Children, that poor kids in the camp that all got swept away. But a lot of you have seen all the coverage. What we wanted to let you know tonight was how maybe if you want to help a little, you can help and donate. So obviously one place that you can donate to is an easy one, the Salvation Army. You can donate goods, clothes, money to the Salvation Army, and they're directly involved with the efforts down there. Easy to get in touch with them, find them, you know, online. Also, the American Red Cross, specifically the American Red Cross of Central and South Texas. They're heavily involved with this effort there too, and you can talk to them and give them a call, get in touch with them online, and they'll tell you what you can do to help. Texans on a Mission is another group that's involved, and they're trying to help people. And there's all these other little local churches and organizations. If you reach out a little bit, you'll find people who are really trying to help with this effort. There's not a lot we can do to save the lives of these poor people, but what we can do is help everybody clean up and get their lives back and get their communities going again. A sad, sad story, but unfortunately we live on this earth and sometimes crazy natural disasters happen. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that. So we got a great show for you tonight. It's another summer edition. Of course, we have a great guest tonight. Our guest tonight is Robin Silvestri, and she's the executive director of Save the Great South Bay. Yes, you have seen her on the show before. We love this organization, and they're doing really great work. How are you doing there tonight?
Hey, Dale. Thanks for having us tonight.
Oh, yeah. Glad to have you back. So I think what we want to do somewhat tonight is go over some of the things. How is the progress going, and how is everything going with the especially the creeks and all the cleaning up? And talk a little about that.
Yeah, let's start with the Creek Defender Program. Thanks for having us back again. This year, we cleaned up at over 23 creeks between Massapequa and Mastic Beach. And our volunteers, there were over 1,000 volunteers. Some events had upwards of 150 volunteers at them, which was really so inspiring to see. In West Babylon, for example, we picked up over 2,000 pounds of trash out of one creek.
Wow, yep,
it's crazy.
Amazing.
In total, we picked up over 12,000 pounds of trash out of the creeks that we cleaned up along in the spring.
12,000 pounds.
Incredible. Plastic, shopping carts, bags, you name it, we found it. Bowling balls, bicycles, TVs, all clogging up our creeks, which serve as the arteries of fresh water to the Great South Bay.
Yeah.
So we really need to keep those creeks flowing, and that's what our Creek Defender program focuses on.
Yeah, right. And you really have, obviously, since you were last here, done great with volunteers.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we get, particularly on the Creek Defender program, we get people who come back every year, and they look forward to those cleanups and getting out in the creeks and getting off their phones and out of their houses and really reconnecting with nature.
Yeah, and like I've told everyone on this show before, if your kids don't have something special to do for the summer, well, get in touch with these people and get them down there. You can get the kid to put that phone away and start doing something real for the earth and the world around them.
Yeah, and even if they don't want to put their phone away, we do collaborate with the Ocean Conservancy, and we use their CleanSwell app, which is an app on the phone which makes tracking what people pick up very easy, so people can track if are they picking up cigarette butts, plastic bags, straws, whatever they're picking up, and it makes it very interactive for the kids to get involved with too. They can see a tally at the end of their, even if they're just cleaning up on their own street, right, they can see a tally of what they've accomplished.
Oh, that's really, yeah, that's pretty great. And of course, all that ties in with the grass, trying to get the grass replanted, and the oyster beds, right?
Oh yeah, thanks for mentioning the Great South Bay Oyster Project. We planted over 800,000 oysters now, wild oysters, back into the bay. One mature oyster can filter up to 50 gallons of water per day. So, you know, every oyster out there makes a difference.
Oh, sure, bringing the clams back especially. What you had told me last time you were here was how low the clam population actually is anymore in the Great South Bay, right?
Yes, our clams have been decimated. We all remember back on the day when, you know, you could walk from clam boat to clam boat.
Yeah.
And people paid for their college. A lot of people made a good living off of the bay and the clams.
Yeah, my own brother did it actually.
Mm-hmm.
And my arm still haven't recovered. I spent a summer out there with them, and boy, that's tough work.
Yeah, that is hard work, but you know, you got to be a salty soul.
Yeah, you sure do. Mm-hmm. And I can remember back in those days, you could look down and see to the bottom of the water.
Yeah, yeah. That's also before our eelgrass beds have been decimated.
Yeah, right.
We've lost a tremendous percentage of our eelgrass beds. Remember, you'd take your boat out and you couldn't even get up the canal without having to clean the eelgrass off of your off the prop. But today, I mean, decimated. You hardly see eelgrass out there.
Yeah, that's a shame that the eelgrass took such a beating, and that's a big part of the ecology of that whole thing.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to talk a little more about that when we come back from the commercial. We're going to go to a break right now, and we'll be right back. Come on back. We got a great show for you tonight. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Mike Cueva.
And I'm Lisa Steffens, and we work at BLD's restaurant on Hawkins Avenue in Ronkonkoma. And we would love for everybody to come on down and visit us and check out our food items and our friendly atmosphere. We decorate all the time year round. And like I said, we are family owned. I'm there 20 years. Mike next to me is there about 15. And we would love everybody to come in and join us.
Yeah, you have to try our pancakes, our waffles, our French toast, even our ribs are good. Burgers are great as well. And don't forget, our police officers, our veterans, our fire department, we give discounts for veterans, police officers, 7 days a week.
So come on down and visit us. Our business hours are 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., and we're known for your home away from home.
Welcome back to History Island, 103.9 FM, LI News Radio. I'm Dale Spencer, your host. And we, of course, have our good friend Robin Silvestri here tonight from Save the Great South Bay, an amazing organization who has done some amazing work to try to bring back the very troubled Great South Bay. So as you were saying before we went to the break, you were talking about the eelgrass.
Yeah.
And how there is just a lot of areas where there isn't any anymore.
Yeah, the right? Vast majority of our eelgrass beds have been decimated. They've disappeared completely off the map. Cornell Cooperative recently shared with me a GIS map that shows it, what the eelgrass was, where the eelgrass was in 2002, where it was in 2018. And when you overlay them, the impact has been tremendous, either from brown tide or warming waters. Our bay has gone up a couple of degrees, and that's a big difference for a specific species.
Oh, sure. Colleges are such fragile things.
Mm-hmm.
So each thing in that bay helped each other to survive.
Yeah.
And you're trying to bring the eelgrass back, I know, but that's a very tough effort, isn't it?
Yeah, we're dipping our toe into that area of restoration. There is a local inventor, I will call him, Rob Vassaluth, who invented a method of gluing the eelgrass seeds. Instead of just dispersing the seeds into the open water, he glues them with a glue that dissolves onto clam shells. So live clams, and then they put the clams overboard. The clams dig in and plant the eelgrass for us.
Wow.
So it's a really cool technique that's being explored here in the Great South Bay. I know he's doing some work over in Barrett Beach on Fire Island, and really exciting work.
Oh, that is pretty amazing. I never heard of that technology before. Did he invent that, actually?
Yeah, he invented it. Yeah,
oh, wow.
He's with a company called Save Environmental.
Now, when the grass grows on the shell, it eventually transfers into the ground.
Correct.
But does that clam underneath help it survive also by cleaning the water around it?
It could. The clams do survive. Mm-hmm. So they do continue to live on their lives out there in the bay.
And you think they help the eelgrass maybe by cleaning the water a little?
Well, they help everything. Really.
They just help the whole ecology.
Exactly. Basically. Exactly. Wow. All bivalves are good filter feeders.
And what percentage of that eelgrass you think is gone?
There are estimates that up to 90% of the eelgrass beds have been decimated.
That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
That really
mm-hmm.
is.
Yeah, it's devastating for all of the marine life out there in the bay. You know, the things that we love to see. It provides homes to all the finfish and the crabs and, you know, and so on.
All the things people love to see, right?
Yeah,
Long Island things.
So one of the things that we've been working on is community oyster gardens. This is a program that runs over the summer if people want to get involved. We have 6 community oyster gardens across the South Shore. Well, 5 across the South Shore and 1 over in Fire Island at Saltaire. And at each of these gardens, we're growing between 10 and 20,000 baby oysters.
Wow.
So each week we go in, we take our crates out of the water, we hose down the oysters and measure them. We count and measure them. Not all of them, of course. We take a random sampling.
Yeah, right.
We don't count 10,000 oysters every week.
would be too very impressive.
Very time consuming. We do a random sampling so we can track the growth.
Right.
And this week alone, we found over at Saltaire, we pulled a crate out, clean as a whistle. Didn't even have to hose down the crates or the oysters. 2 days later, I was over in Oakdale. Mucky brown oysters came out of the water. The crates were all full of algae. It was an incredible difference in the water quality just in different spots of the bay. You know, Fire Island is over by, that Saltaire is over by the inlet, so they benefit from flush with the Atlantic Ocean, and they have a much higher water quality over in specific areas over there.
And I guess that was also true when the breach opened from the hurricane, right?
Yes, out in Bellport, the water quality improved basically overnight.
And I remember all the, quote, experts were talking about what a nightmare disaster that would be.
It could have been. That, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah,
and, but it turned out to be really a very manageable situation out there with drastically improved water quality. And you saw a return of clams, and the oysters that were planted out there did very well. And fish species they hadn't seen in a long time were back.
Yeah.
Really incredibly quickly.
Yeah, right.
It restored itself. Thing. Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Wow. So I know you guys are always looking for volunteers. If someone wants to volunteer, there's still a lot of summer left where they could help, right?
Oh, yeah. We do our weekly maintenance at our oyster gardens. It's typically about an hour and a half commitment. People can volunteer at SaveTheGreatSouthBay.org/volunteer. If they click that button, it'll list, it takes them to a page where all of our volunteer opportunities are listed out. And people can sign up for 1 week or 6 weeks, however many sessions they want to participate in. We have locations in Brightwaters, Bayshore, Oakdale, over by Snapper Inn. Rich Remmer has been amazingly supportive of the program. Unqua Yacht Club, Babylon Yacht Club is a big supporter, and over at Saltaire on Fire Island.
Wow. The yacht clubs and the marinas are great, great hosts.
So. Yeah, they're really great partners because we hang the crates over. We need dock space to hang them over, and they just need to sit below the low tide line.
Oh, okay. So mm-hmm. And they supply that for you.
Yep, they supply this place. We supply the oysters and the volunteers.
So if you're a kid or an adult even and you want to get out there, get some of your friends and go out and volunteer. You'll have a great time doing that.
Yeah, we had Christopher this weekend over at Saltaire. He's 14. Mm-hmm. And I asked, you know, do you have something that you'd like to say about the program? And he was like, this was just amazing. This was so much fun. And then we had Dante over in Oakdale. I guess I'm not sure how old he is. He's in low teens. But one of the crates got open, and there was a gigantic eel in it.
Oh.
And I'll tell you what, he had his work gloves on, but he dug right in. He grabbed that eel and got him overboard.
That sounds like it would have been actually fun. And
yeah, well, we had some squealing moms, but
yeah.
But Dante was very brave.
Wow. Now, I would imagine over the course of a year, you guys probably do a lot of events to try to raise, you always need to raise money, right?
Well, programs cost money.
Yeah, sure. So if anyone wants to donate, same place they can donate
yep.
to?
SaveTheGreatSouthBay.org. There's a mm-hmm. donate button right on the homepage. Mm-hmm. We are hosting our annual fundraiser, the Oyster Ball. This will be our second year hosting it. It's September 13th at Gatsby on the Ocean. Tickets are available on our website. And they go fast. Last year we sold out. We had about 230 guests. This year we can have up to 300, and we hope to sell out again this year.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's really good. And we will also remind our audience about that before the event.
Oh, thanks a lot, Dale. Really appreciate you helping us get the word out.
Oh, yeah. Well, we tried to last year, and we hope we brought some people over there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
And how about anything else? Anything going on in the near future?
Well, we have our community oyster gardens, which will raise about 200,000 oysters this year. And then those get planted into our oyster sanctuaries. We do have a speaker series coming up at the end of July. We host those quarterly. We have a really exciting visit from author Steve Kuhn. He was a clammer out on the Great South Bay for many, many years. And he wrote a book about his life, a hard life, my life as a clammer on the Great South Bay. So we're excited to hear his stories about being out there with the rake and with the ice and clamming throughout the year. So that'll be a nice event.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like it'll be really interesting.
People can register for that on our website.
And where's that going to be held at?
That's at The View in Oakdale, but it's registration. It has to be registration only.
Right, registration only. Yeah. Okay, and great, so people can get in touch with them. Clamming is an amazing thing. I had some friends who were clammers their whole lives. The stories that they told, and probably a couple of the stories I could tell, because the one summer out on the boat, we experienced some crazy stuff, like a big storm. When you're out on a clam boat in the middle of a big storm, it's quite exciting.
It's crazy. I know my kids love to do clamming with their feet over at Davis Park, on the bayside of the marina.
Right. Yeah, we did that as kids a lot. It was really a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, yeah.
A tube in the water with a basket in it.
And, exactly.
Yeah, and it was easy to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but so anyway, you guys are doing a lot for the Bay. So we'll talk about that event when it comes up a little more.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else to ask you at this point. You got anything else going on other than what you're doing with the oysters? And not that that's not anything, because it's amazing what you're doing.
Well, I will tell you, one of our newest initiatives, it started 2 years ago, was harnessing the science. You know, people ask us all the time, how's the Bay doing? And really, we can't tell you how the Bay is doing. We can tell you anecdotally, we had brown tide this year. Brown tide's not good for the Bay. But when it came down to the real science, we didn't have an interpretation, let's say. There's no lack of data that's being collected out on the Bay,
right.
But there was no means of translating that data into something that the everyday person could understand.
Oh, yeah.
And so we've created a water quality monitoring program that collects science in a uniform way between Hempstead and Shinnecock, and we're going to translate that into letter grades. So we're going to create a report card that will say, for example, Belleport Bay would have earned an A when that inlet was open. But now we'll see what kind of grade they earn based on the current water quality monitoring that's happening out there.
I'm going to ask you more about that when we come back from the break.
All right.
You're listening to History Island, 103.9 FM, LI News Radio, and we'll be right back. cut you off before that. And welcome back to History Island, 103.9 FM, LA News Radio. I'm Dale Spencer. And, of course, we are talking about the Great South Bay tonight. Save the Great South Bay, specifically the great organization. And our guest, if you haven't been listening up to this point, is Robin Silvestri, and she is the executive director of that organization.
Hey, Dale, thanks for having me again tonight.
Yeah, it's great. So we were talking about the Bay. Can you give me an idea? What's like the total area of the Bay and what's dealt with it?
Ooh, so the South Shore Estuary Reserve is the official designation for the South Shore of Long Island. Mm-hmm. And that goes from the town of Hempstead, so Hempstead Bay, across Oyster Bay, Great South Bay, Belport Bay, out to Mauritius and Shinnecock. Wow. So it goes literally from Hempstead to Shinnecock. That's the South Shore Estuary Reserve.
Oh, that's a good piece of the South Shore of Long Island.
Yeah, it touches, the South Shore Estuary Reserve actually touches about 1.5 million people.
Oh, wow, that's pretty mm-hmm. amazing. Mm-hmm. And so now, I noticed you were talking about the fact that you overlook the statistics you can find over the years about all of this.
Right. So part of the data that we're analyzing for our first report card comes from Suffolk County Department of Health. They've been collecting water quality data for 50 years, and we're finally going to take all that work that they've done, this amazing work that they've done, and put it in a way that everyday people can understand it in the form of a letter grade report card.
Oh, wow. Wow. And that, I'm sure, going to help you a lot in
it
your
will help us.
Calculations of what you're trying to do.
At Save the Great South Bay, we're all volunteers. We're just regular people. Yeah, you know, right. I'm a mom. I have a marketing background. But it's my love of the Great South Bay that really drives me to do the work at the organization.
Yeah. And remember that, everybody out there, you could do just a little to get involved and help this great, great cause. Because, you know, 50, 60 years from now, when your grandkids are around, we want to have a Great South Bay that we can actually use for recreation and fishing and clamming and all the things that it's supposed to be able to do for us.
Yeah. Our motto at Save the Great South Bay is start where you stand. So just put the polar bears on the side for a minute. You don't have to forget about them. Just put them on the side. They are important. But what you can do is walk 50 meters out your back door and go to your local creek and get your hands in the water and your feet a little bit in the mud and pick something up that might be blocking the flow of that creek out to the Great South Bay.
Right. One of those creeks is in Gardner Park, right?
Yes, we have a couple of creeks over in the Bayshore area. We have Awixa Creek, Penotiquit Creek, Trues Creek, and then a little further east in Islip, you have Champlain's Creek, Arawak Creek. There are 50 creeks that lead into the Great South Bay.
Wow, and they all need maintenance and work and cleanup all the time.
At some point, they all do. Yeah, we're finding as we go along each year, we're still pulling out a lot of trash. It's incredible the amount of new trash that comes, but we've gotten to a lot of the legacy trash already.
Oh, which is good.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that people just keep contributing to the trash. It's an unfortunate thing.
100%.
Yeah. Anyway, we got to take a break for a second. I just want to do a little business, okay? And our main sponsor is the Long Island Music and Entertainment Hall of Fame. I've told you all about them before. What an amazing place. Museum up in Stony Brook, New York. Oh, let's see. That is 97 Main Street in Stony Brook. You can reach them at 631-689-5888. Or, of course, on the web, you can find them. And they do, well, you know, this year, maybe for another 2 months, the Big Billy Joel exhibit, Billy Joel, My Life, 50 Years of Billy Joel. A one-of-a-kind exhibit. Nothing like it will ever happen again. Billy personally helped us make it. Our great designer, Kevin, who's going to be on in a couple of weeks to talk about it, by the way. He designed it, and it can't be described. Billy gave us so many personal items to use. There'll never be anything like this again. So if you love Billy Joel, you got about 2 months to get to it. And then it's going to end, and there'll be a new exhibit. Of course, what goes on all the time there, if you pay for your admission to get in and see Billy Joel, there's also every Sunday a live concert in our upstairs little concert hall. And it features local bands from Long Island, but handpicked by our general manager, Barry. Hello, Barry. And he handpicks the bands, and they play original music, not copy music. So it's a forum for bands to be able to get out there and play where there might not be a place for them to do a gig otherwise. So go visit July 13th. Let's see, 3 p.m. July 13th. This should be an interesting one. They're called Shindig, the old Shindig show. They're a classic rock band, and I think they're going to play a lot of songs that were on the show Shindig. So they should be an interesting one. July 19th, author Ross Warner will have a presentation and a Q&A, and he wrote a book called American Standard, Cheap Trick from the Bars to Budokan and Beyond. He's an expert on that band, and he's going to do a nice show on that. July 20th, Josie Bello and Mike Nugent, they've been developing and recording together for about 10 years now. They blend folk and country blues, a lot of original music. They're really great. I can't say enough about the bands that play there. Come and do a visit. You'll love the place. It's the official Hall of Fame for music and entertainment for Long Island. Everything from Perry Como to Barbra Streisand to the Ramones and Joan Jett. And everything in between. A lot of people are Long Islanders you wouldn't even know. So anyway, go check that out and visit them. Like I said, you can get in touch with them, 97 Main Street in Stony Brook. And you can call them at 689-5888. Before we go any further, I just want to mention two people who I could not do this show without. And one is our producer, John Gifford. Hey, John.
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. There'd be no show without John. We love him. And, of course, our research director, Janet Rishbeta, also known as Jenny. Yay, Jenny. Okay, so anyway, back to the subject at hand, Robin. Thanks for your patience.
Thanks, Dale.
So you have the big event happening in September. Tell us about that again so people can... hear about it now.
Okay, that's well called. It's called the Oyster Ball. It's our second year hosting it. A very high-end, elegant event. Black tie optional. We will have local oyster farmers shucking live oysters for us during cocktail hour. Surf and turf for the main course with lobster tails. Lots of ice cold beer, of course, goes perfect with the oysters, and some prosecco is a nice touch. And we will have music by the Tim Mooney Band. Tim Mooney is the owner of the Fire Island Ferries, and they have donated their time for our event on September 13th.
Oh, that is really wonderful.
Yeah, and it'll be great tunes.
He's a person who makes his living on the Great South Bay,
mm-hmm.
right?
It all comes together.
Wow. Yeah, it all does. And that's what it's supposed to be. We're all supposed to be here to somehow support each other on this earth. And you'll find these little groups of people, and they do that. And many other people, well, you know, you're living your life, and I hope everyone's having a good life out there. But you know what? You can all carve a little bit of time out. Maybe you could do a little more volunteering to help your community around you, to help the earth that you live on.
I know. It really makes you feel good on the inside.
Yeah, it sure does. Mm-hmm. I know. We know we've always gone and cleaned trash up at Lake Ronkonkoma over the years. And there's a big group that does it now. But at one point, there was hardly anybody doing it. But it had to be done. So we'd all go there. And we'd clean it up. And now that's taken root. And the lake is a lot cleaner than what it used to be. Like my research director would tell me, keep local. So anyway, it's been great to have you on. Anything else you want to talk about before we go?
Well, I'd love to mention, not that I'd love to mention it, but I'd be remiss in not mentioning it. Are there the main culprit that faces the Great South Bay, which is nitrogen pollution.
Okay.
And this nitrogen pollution stems mainly from the outdated cesspools that are in Suffolk County. There's over 360,000 of them. And I think last time I was here, we were just leading up to November, and there was a resolution, a referendum that was being on the ballot in November for Proposition Number 2, which raised the sales tax by 1/8 of a penny.
Mm-hmm.
But that money is dedicated to upgrading cesspools and expanding sewers on Long Island to help us address the problem of nitrogen in the Great South Bay.
Yes, and that I know is still a work in progress right now, but there's a lot of people who are looking to do it. And we'll look, especially around Lake Ronkonkoma with the advisory board, we've been trying to work on getting all the cesspools out of there eventually. At one point, I know the county executive had tried to sign a law that everyone had to change their cesspool. But that law never really went through.
I think if your cesspool fails, you're obliged to update it to the new model.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And now the original model was really expensive, like $25,000 to have it put
still
in.
Still cost that.
Yeah.
But yeah. But there is grant money available through the Septic Improvement Program. They have grants over $20,000 available to homeowners. And for low-income families, there's an additional $5,000 available.
Oh, so there's a way to do it even if you can't afford to do it.
And this program is now going to be funded through that sales tax increase. Oh. So there will be funding available, like a steady stream of income to keep that program running as people upgrade their cesspools. Mm. This is important.
Oh, yeah. And if you have a cesspool in your home and you're not all that rich and you think that one day you might need to change that cesspool, this might be something to explore into right now. You could maybe get it done before everyone else is getting it done and it's a more difficult thing to do.
Right. They do have priority areas and people who live in the priority areas. Are the ones who put the most nitrogen into the bay, like down by the shore. So those people do get a preferential or prioritized.
Yes. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had a little technical difficulty.
Oh,
there.
That's okay. But all homeowners qualify for the program that have cesspools.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good thing to know.
People can go to Reclaim Our Water. I believe it's .org to find out more information on getting those grants. And we'll post that information on our website as well.
Mm-hmm. And yet we've done so much work on Long Island to clean up the waters around Long Island, for example, not dumping in the ocean like we used to with the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the Long Island Sound has had some real successes with trying to clean the water up.
Yes.
And actually, so is the Hudson River, which amazes me. I never thought that could be cleaned up.
Yeah. Well, the Long Island Sound, and there's this, we call them our sister organization. We're really more of a mentor to us. They're a much larger organization, but they do similar work that what we're doing, but up on the North Shore, much bigger organization. They've done tremendous work up there on the Sound to clean up the water.
Right, and you guys are going to succeed just like that.
Well, we hope so.
Yeah,
we certainly hope so.
Well, we're certainly going to keep getting the word out there about you.
Thank you, Dale. We really appreciate that.
Well, that's what it's all about. We try to get the good things out there and get them to people so that we can improve this world that we live in.
Yep. We always say that once you know something, you can't unknow it.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. You can't unknow it. It's there. And we sure don't want to get to a point where one day we look at our Great South Bay and it's like the Gowanus Canal or something.
Right.
You know.
No, the voice has a bit. The bay has a voice. We are the voice of the bay,
right?
And we will do our best to protect it. But it's going to take all of us. It's not something that just a few people can do in one organization. Really, everybody needs to step up and do their piece.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes an organization like yours can be the impetus to get that kind of thing going with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there was one time when Harry Chapin started World Hunger Year, and it was him on the radio, and he dragged some other rock star like Billy Joel in, and he'd raised $3,000 for World Hunger, and look at what it is now.
Right.
It's Long Island Cares and a giant organization that feeds all these hungry people. So any good effort like that, if you keep it going, it can become a giant thing. You know, people do tend to join in eventually.
Yes. And hopefully this day.
Yeah, hopefully this day. So anyway, it was great to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah, we're glad to have you. We're going to continue to have you on. Whenever something is happening, let us know so we can have you on.
We'll
do. And keep everybody updated. And everybody, get out there and volunteer. I haven't done it, unfortunately, myself this summer, but I'm going to before the summer is over.
Great. SaveTheGreatSouthBay.org is where they can find the opportunities.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so everybody remember that. And so thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, Dale.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
See you next time.
Yep, we'll see you soon. So anyway, it's an important topic, people. Take care of our waterways and get involved with those guys because they're doing really good work. And what we need to do is support the good work that goes on Long Island. So anyway, this has been an interesting show. We are going to have a lot more for you in the next couple of weeks on the Great South Bay and the waterways and the beaches and all the other things that there are to do. Obviously, keep in mind, by the way, that if you're a senior and you're over 60 years old, all our state parks are free during the weekdays for you. So if you want to go down to Robin Moses or Jones Beach or someplace like that, just pull up and let them know you're a senior. And they'll let you right in for free. You don't have to pay that $10 parking fee. And we're going to have one of Chip Gorman, who runs the state parks. One of his assistants is coming on in August to talk more about what's going on with those other parks. Because honestly, they have so much going on that one show can never capture what they do. And so get out there. There's a lot of great events going on. There's still some good concerts at Jones Beach. Brookhaven Amphitheater has a couple of great shows going on between now and the end of the summer. And you got your beaches. Get up to Cedar Beach on the North Shore one night. They have wonderful live music every night, nice restaurant. You can get yourself some good food, sit right on the beach, and listen to great live bands play. It's a long time tradition on Long Island. Been going on and on and on forever. So, yeah. Anyway, so that's about it tonight. We're going to close you out with one of the great summer songs by that great band War. Good night. My time.